We're holding on to the past on the day's last word. We're in the middle of discussing like this. We said in the mission of this hill holds that by fatus, even though you're supposed to do four matanos, if you only do one, then b'dievet, code is caution. So now we had talked about what happens, that remaining blood that should have been put on those, on the remaining three corners, what are the dinim of it? So the Gemara had mentioned, sort of Yochanan had mentioned a couple of dinim with it, and her papa had gone into more detail and explained there are ways in which we treat that just like the blood from the first matana, and other ones where we treat it like the shirai. And in particular, one thing we were focusing on is something that's going to be discussed much later in the Masechta about the din of kibbutz, where the Torah tells us that if blood of a chatas gets onto clothing, then you have to wash it specifically in the azara. So now, the last thing we talked about was that we had a Mishnah that said that if the blood gets onto the clothing from the keren or from the yisoid, then that rule of kibbutz does not apply. So we were talking about, what about blood that's going to be placed on the keren? What about blood that's going to be placed on the yisoid? So the Gemara had mentioned in this connection, Reb Nechemiah, who says, now here, later in the Masechta, when it talks about the dinim of what a person is chayav kares for offering outside the Bais Mikdash, where the basic rule is whatever was supposed to be offered in the Bais Mikdash, if a person does it outside it, he's chayav kares. So Reb Nechemiah had said that if he does the shirayim outside the azara, he would be chayav kares. And then, but now the Gemara had, the last thing the Gemara had asked was that, so what? That's one thing. Just because a person is chayav kares for something doesn't mean that it's ma'akev, to say, or doesn't mean that it should have the other dinim of a korban. The same way as, for example, the fats of the korban, if a person offers them outside the azara, he's chayav kares, but we know that those are not ma'akev, because once the blood is sprinkled, then the korban is kosher. So the last thing we had asked was that, do we find, in fact, that Reb Nechemiah would say that when it comes to the shirayim, from the yisoid, that if it gets onto clothing, you should have to wash it in the azara. So the Gemara answers, last word of Laman Chesam of days, Ein, as a matter of fact, yes, Baha Tanya, and indeed we learn in a Braisa, whenever you have, by the way, anytime in Shas that you're going to have a Baha Tanya, which is not a question, Rashi will always make sure to mention it, Vini Fulfin. So Baha Tanya, and indeed we learn in a Braisa, which the Gemara, now the Braisa doesn't have Reb Nechemiah's name on it, but the Gemara is going to establish in a couple of lines that on the face of it, that it has to be appointed to Reb Nechemiah. Blood that still has to be put on the yisoid, namely the shirayim, which are going to be poured onto the yisoid, to'unim kibbutz. Those require kibbutz if any of that blood gets on clothing. And also there are some other dinim that apply to it. If he had a machshava of chutzas manoi, then it would be, if he's during the pouring on the yisoid, if he has in mind that he's going to eat the meat past the time, then ma'el espehen, then it's effective, and the korban is now pigle. And if a person offers that blood, the shirayim, outside the azara, he would be chayiv kares for it. So when they need to be spilled on the yisoid. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, the Dumran Shvachan La'ama. On the other hand, when you have blood which is meant to be poured into the Amma, sometimes you have a korban became fossil for some reason or other, or the blood became fossil, and instead of being able to sprinkle it on the Mizbeach and pour the remainder on the yisoid, instead we pour it into the Amma, into the water channel that ran through the Azara.
Did they meet on the
Eventually, I guess they met, because the Mishnah mentions that where they pour the Eilu Ve'Eilu, yeah, the Mishnah says Eilu Ve'Eilu, both the ones that were poured on the various parts of the Yisrael. Ma Rabbi Yodremi, Misagim Ba'am of Yotzim Menachal Kivin. Yeah, eventually it all drained out.
So the Yisrael
also, as well as the Amma.
The piping system that they all met later
on. Yeah, they all met later on and drained out in Menachal Kivin. Yeah, the Pashtos, it was all one drain. Yeah. So now these blood, which is possible and has to be poured into the Amma, ain't on in kibbutz. If some of that blood squirts onto clothing, you do not have to wash it in the Azara. The ain't machshava me'elos behen, and machshava is ineffective. Even if he had a thought of pigle, it wouldn't make it pigle. Now, mind you, the korban is possible anyhow, we're talking about, but there are a couple of possibilities that Achronim bring up of what the nafkamina is, the fact that you can't make it pigle. For one thing, it would mean, let's say, for example, it was some of the blood that needed to be poured into the animal. Let's say we talked about previously where the blood was received in multiple kosis, and some of them were used to put on the mizbeach, and some of them not, where the ones that were never used end up getting poured into the animal. But nevertheless, Nevertheless, that blood is not the invasion.
Yeah, I'm like a channel.
It was a channel. It was a water channel.
In the Hegel.
Not in the Hegel, in the Azor.
In the Azor.
It ran through the Azor. It went through the Azor. Notably, we talk about
and it. Then at what point did it go down?
At the Pashtus outside as the floor level goes down. Floor level, the Azor is almost the highest point of it.
Oh, Azor, it went out that way? What do you mean?
Goes out towards the east. Nachal Kidron is east of Yerushalayim. So it would flow out of the Azara.
One second, the Hekel is east.
The Hekel is towards the west. The Hekel is towards the west of the Azara. When we go to the coastal nowadays,
the Hekel is towards the west. It was going out towards the east.
So maybe it didn't go straight towards the east. It may have gone first towards the north or south and then curved. But whatever it is, eventually Nachal Kidron is to the east of Yerushalayim. So eventually it would drain out in that direction. They have found, by the way, back in the 1860s, there were a couple of British engineers who did a survey of the Hanabias, the only decent archaeological survey they've done of the place ever and in modern times. You can find maps online nowadays and in books of various underground caverns and cisterns and whatnot that they found, and they mapped them out quite detailed. There's at least one of them that looks like a long thick thing that seems to go, that flows towards the north from approximately where the Mizbeach and the Azara was. Very likely that's the Hamor, or at least what's left of it. So here you have blood that was meant to be poured into the Amma. So again, so it doesn't require kibbutz. Machshava is not me'elus, meaning even in a case where the korban is still conceivably subject to pigul, but it wouldn't be because of this blood that's going to be poured into the Amma. For example, if the korban is possible, you still need to know whether it's pigul, which would be kores or not. Another point is, if there's still dama nefesh, can you start all over? As we've learned previously, would you be able to go and do another kabbalah and do it properly, or is it too late? This blood that's already been made pigul, and you can't make the korban kosher afterwards. So it's important to know whether pigul is in fact effective. Bahamala behen machutz potter, and this blood that's meant to be poured into the ama, if a person were to offer it on a makeshift mizbeach outside the azara, he would be potter from kares. So now, the Gemara says, Man Shamat Leid Amamala Mehen Bachutz Chayev. Now, who is this Braisa like? Well, who did we already find who said, which Tana had said that if he takes the Shirayim, that a person takes the Shirayim and offers it outside the Azari, is Chayev Kores? Reb Nechemyah. That was Reb Nechemyah, because the Chachamim would disagree and say the Shirayim, because they're not active, then therefore also a person is potter for bringing them outside the Azara. The Kama Ton Kibbutz, and we see that Reb Nechemyah is saying that blood of Shirayim, which is yet to be poured on Yisoid, if it gets onto clothing, then you have to wash it in the Azara. So we see, therefore, that yes, the Gemara had started, that had had the question, does Reb Nechemyah, in fact, equate those two things? The answer is yes. But the Gemara asks, you're telling me that machshava would be effective when it comes to the shirayim, that the korban is still capable of becoming pigul at that point? Well, Tanya, we learned another braisa, yotsu shirayim v'aktoras emurin, that the braisa is talking about what avodas will are capable of making the korban pigul. It's only ones that are active, so only the four avodas. Yotzu shirayim, as opposed to pouring out the shirayim, v'aktoras emurin and bruni emurin, she'en ma'achvenes ha'kapara. Those are not active. The kapara, the korban is perfectly kosher without doing those things. She'en machshava ma'elos behen. Machshava is not effective with them. So therefore, so you have a braisa that says that you can't make korban pigul at the time of the pouring of the shirayim. And the answer is, the Gemara says, I suppose the Gemara could have easily answered that braisa is only, there's a point to the Chachamim, and here we were talking according to the Nechemyah, but apparently the Gemara wants to assume that that braisa should go according to everybody. So the answer is, Kitanyahi b'sholosh matonas shebachatas. That braisa is talking about, is actually not talking about the Shirayim, it's talking about the remaining three that should have been done for the Chatas, which is the subject, which is the main subject of our Sogya. We got into this matter of Shirayim by way of the three matonas that are supposed to be done for a Chatas, but which are not ma'akid. If they're not done, and then Reb Popa had pointed out that in some ways, the blood of those three matonas is like the Shirayim, and that led us into this whole discussion of what exactly is the deal with the blood of the Shirayim. Well, here, that's what we're actually talking about. Those three matonis, that those, so, 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 uh, So those three, therefore, so those three, if they get on clothing, they do need to be washed because after all, they are something that was supposed to be placed on the Mizbeach in the first place as part of the main Zrika of the Korban. But not necessarily when it comes to the Shirayim, which is a whole other thing, which are, according to the Nehemiah, we're saying maybe they're Ma'akib or not. Tosfos, by the way, has a very, very long discussion over here of the question, what are exactly the cases where Reb Nechemiah holds that the Shirayim are Ma'akid? Is it only by the Chatoris HaPnimius? He was so far, the Gemara has been talking about Chatos Kutsonius. Does Reb Nechemiah, in fact, hold that the Shirayim are Ma'akid there also? If you don't pour out the Shirayim, then the Korban is possible. And maybe he only holds it by the Chatoris HaPnimius. We'll learn tomorrow also on Daf Mem, Beis Hashem, we're going to learn Machloikas, Reb Yehuda and Reb Akiva, on that subject about whether the Shirayim of even a Chatos Pnimius is not Kebes. Yehuda holds that yes, we always say we have an Ezra Mekoymet, Shira Adama Yishofet, Imlai Nosam La'ikev, but the Gemara is going to learn, we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow that Rabbi Yehuda does not necessarily agree with that. He holds, for example, the Korbanis of Yom Kippur and other Chataris of Nimius, you do have to pour the Shirayim on the Yisoid or the Korban is possible. Does Reb Nechemiah hold the same thing? Also, the Hatha Sotonius is that Tosfos has a long discussion going back and forth about it. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so fine. So when the Braisa says that when the Braisa says then that you need kibbutz, we're not talking about regular shirayim. We're talking about shirayim in the sense they're left over after doing the first matana and not doing the other three. So the question is, Yehochi, what do you mean, Yehochi, to own Yisoid, then why is the Braisa using the word that they have to go, that they have to be placed on the Yisoid? L'keren Azli, those three, after all, are supposed to go on the Keren, on the remaining three Kronos of the Mizbeach. Fine, but Yevon was saying you didn't do it, the Korban is still kosher, but we can't say that the next destination of this blood was supposed to be the Yisoid. The next destination, if you're going to do the right thing, is going to be put it on the three Kronos. And the answer is fine. Aim a nit onion yisoid. Fine. Rather fix up the wording. Not that they're t'onion yisoid, as in right now, the next stop for them is the yisoid, but rather nit onion yisoid, they're eventually going to require the yisoid. Because eventually, after the rest of the sprinkling is done, or if he doesn't do the three sprinklings after all, then eventually he's going to put the remainder of the blood on the yisoid. So we don't mean it's the next thing, we just mean that it's some future to put the ultimate destination of this blood is the yisoid. And then we're saying that blood, now if it gets unclear, clothing has to be washed in the Azara, but not necessarily to say that once the sprinklings were done and all that's left is to put it on the Yisoid, that then if that blood gets on clothing, it should have to be washed in the Azara, not necessarily. So we're still in the middle of discussing again this question of whether these two things are connected, that any time the blood of the three matonis is ton kibos, and the blood of the yisoid is not. So we're still in the middle of working that out. Okay. So they're going to ask, here's another question. Now, are you telling me then, so if you're going to tell me that the Braisa is talking about, when we said at the top of the Amud, Domi Matonin Yisoid, and now you're telling me that this is not referring to the Shirayim, it's referring to the three Matonis. So then one of the things was, we said, so you're saying Tonin Kibos, fine, you're saying that they require Kibos because they were supposed to be placed on the Kronis. But how can you say, Machshavamay Elasbehen? How can you say that Machshava would still be able to make the Korban Tigel? Ha'amit lo shayya v'lo mefagla, v'lo ayel gavoy kesoifam. Didn't Rav Papa in his list before say that the blood of these remaining three matonis is not able to be matur the meat to eat, namely because the meat is already mutter by virtue of the first one, or because if it came possible by the first one, then the remaining three are not going to make it kosher afterwards. V'lo mefagla, and the three Rav Papa had said are not able to make it pigel, because like we said in the Mishnah, once the first one's been done and the Korban is kosher, and it's too late to make a pigle with the remaining three. And that if that blood is brought into the heichel, it does not make the korban possible. Unlike up until that point, with if the blood is brought into the heichel, then the Torah tells us loisa ochel ba'ish tisaris, that the korban cannot be eaten and has to be burnt. So what are you telling me? So if you're going to tell me that the Braisa at the top is talking about Domim HaTonin Yisoid, and it really means the Shirayim that are meant to be poured on the Yisoid, and you're going to say it's like Reb Nechemiah, then fine. But if you're going to try to tell me that this is like the Chachamim, and you're going to make it apply to the three Matonis, then it still contradicts what Reb Papa is saying, that by those three, it's impossible to make a pigle anymore. Because he says those are like the Shirayim in that sense, and just like according to the Chachamim, you can't make a pigle during the Shirayim, neither can you make a pigle with those three. So Ella, no, rather we have to answer. Kitanya he bedamra pnimi. Rather that brisa damra toni yisoid is referring to the blood of korban, the shirayim of blood of shachatois that are done inside the heichal. So now, fine, this brisa will hold like the opinion that at least by those, the shirayim is ma'akev. Again, we're going to learn tomorrow Rabbi Yehuda holds that, maybe the Nechemya holds that, maybe only by the pnimi and not by the chatzonim, as Tosfos discusses at some length. So therefore, it's by the pnimi blood, then therefore, so now, if you're saying that the shirayim are ma'akev, well then, if it's ma'akev, then pigul is still possible, and kibbutz is required, and so on and so forth. So that brisa is taka not talking about the remaining three for chatas v'tzorina, because you're right, those are not ma'akev, and there's no reason why pigul should apply to them. But by the chatzaris apnimius, as we're going to start learning soon, every matona achas and me'akavas, and therefore every one of them, it's still possible to make a pigle if there wasn't a contradicting mashava someplace else in the avodah, and therefore even the shirayim, according to the opinions of the shirayim on the active, is going to be the same thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, so what? Abel b'damim chatzonim mai potter. So you're telling me that what then? In that case, then the din would be when it comes to the blood that's to be that from a korban that was done on the outer mizbeach, then he would be potter for malabachotz and all the other dinim wouldn't apply to it. If that's what the brisa means, it's focusing specifically on the chatoris apnimius, then literally my potter ad toni dam manishvach ma'ama. Then why is the brisa only making a distinction between the blood that's supposed to go on the yisoid versus the blood that's supposed to go into the ama? Instead, the Braisa could be making a distinction within the ones that are going on the Yisoid as well. When would we say these dinim, that it requires kibbutz and machshava ma'elos, etc., would be by the Dhamma Pnimim, because again, there if we were following the opinion that the pouring of the Shirayim is also ma'akiv, the kashrus of the Korban, aval b'dhamma chetzonim potter, but if it were to be by the blood from a Korban, from the outer Mizveach, it would be potter because by that point, the matonis have already, even the three matonis wouldn't necessarily be able to make a pigul, let alone the blood of the shirayim. So why didn't the braisa make that distinction? And the answer is, fine, at that point, we have to go back to what we were saying before. Hamani gam nechemihi, gam ashiori adam shei kruvim bachot chayev. This braisa would have to follow Rav Nechemya, who Taka says that even that the shirayim that are offered bachutz, he is chayav koris. So now, if he had mentioned, he couldn't mention in the braisa anything about the chitzonim because like masna the tzlosa peturi lebahadi tzlosa chiyuvim. He would not be able to talk about the three peturim parallel to the three chiyuvim because. What would he say? The blood that goes b'fnim, tunin kibos and machshav ma'elos and amalamehen machutz chayev, but the blood that goes b'chutz, what would he say? Would he say that if he's malamehen b'chutz, if he offers it outside the azara, then he would be potter? Rav Nechemya holds that he's chayev. So he wouldn't be able to, so the braisa wouldn't flow then to be able to say that there's this distinction, three things for which he's chayev by one type of blood and chayev or that apply to one type of blood, and those three do not apply to the different, to the other type. Therefore, he has no choice but to draw the distinction only between Tonin Yisoid versus Nishpach Ma'ama rather than between Pnimian and Chatzonim. But not necessarily. So that's why he makes that. So that's why he doesn't want to mention the distinction about Chatzonis Pnimius versus Chatzonis. Again, subject to what Tosfos is discussing, does he in fact hold that there would be differences between the Shirayim as far as the Pnimius and the Chatzonis? That's a different way of looking at it, but in any case, he certainly holds by both of them that a person is Chayiv Kodesh for offering it outside the Azara, and therefore he wouldn't be able to draw that sharp distinction between them if he had said Pnimius versus Chatzonis, and therefore, of necessity, he has to say Yisoid versus Amar. So all of this then, So that being the case then, so we've worked out the braisis and we've shown then that Rav Papa does have a basis for what he said, that when it comes to the three matonis, that when it comes to the three matonis, it would require kibbutz. We had gone back and forth in Nehemiah's opinion about it, and Rashi and Tosfos had furthermore argued what parts of the discussion over here were questions on Rav Papa and what parts are answers, but now we seem to have worked everything out. Ravina gives a whole different answer. When We're going back to the question. We said that when we have the Mishnah later in the Masechta that draws a distinction. We said if the blood squirted from the neck of the animal onto a beged, that blood is possible to put on the mizeach. Therefore, it doesn't require kiddus. But if it came from the keren or the yisoid, then also it doesn't require kiddus. And the Gemara had asked, well, in that case, what does that mean? It implies that blood that's yet going to be put on the keren requires kiddus. That would be what Papa is saying, that the three matonis require kibbutz, but then the Gemara had said no, because then we get into the whole... Okay.
Where's the mocker of kibbutz in Torah?
The mocker of kibbutz in Torah is that it says, Ashi yizdem bidom ala beged, blood from a hatas that squirts onto clothing, Ashi yizdem aleha, that squirts on it, yichabis b'mokum kodesh, he has to wash it in the holy area, meaning inside the Azara.
Only bachatos?
Only bachatos. We're going to have actually later in the Masechta, I think we're going to have different opinions about whether it applies only to bachatos. But for right now, let's stick with chatos because it definitely says that in the pasuk. There are various things we learn.
One second. Yeah. And this is if blood
of bachatos
spills on the clothing of the kohen.
Not on kohen. Any clothing.
Of any kohen.
However, you know, Zor.
While it's spritzing on the
yes.
So now, if anyone gets dirty.
So now one thing is, the Pasuk uses the expression Asher Yizeh, which means that he will sprinkle. From that, we learn the point that only until the blood is going to be sprinkled does this concept apply. Once it's already been sprinkled, then this din of kibbutz does not apply. That is why the Mishnah says that if it's so, and also we learn from it two things, actually. Number one, it has to be blood that's capable of being sprinkled, so that excludes where it came directly from the neck of the animal onto the clothing, because that's possible to put on the mizbeach. And we also exclude where it comes from the keren or from the yisoid, where it's already been placed on the mizbeach, the hazah has already happened, it's not Asher Yizeh. So now, what the Gemara had tried to do was, we had said, in that case then, it seems, the Mishnah seems to be drawing the
decision. What does that mean? Just take off his clothing and wash it?
No, obviously he's not going to take off his clothing right there in the Azara. First of all, if the Big Dick Tohuna become dirty with blood, they're possible to use anyhow.
What are the kibbutz?
The kibbutz is, that's what I'm saying. We're not necessarily talking about the Big Dick Kohuna. Now, it depends, actually. If the Big Dick Kohuna, I'm saying it wrong. They're possible to use as long as they're dirty. If you wash them, then fine, they can be...
What is the kibbutz? Kibbutz means to wash.
Kibbutz means to wash it. But as long... One second. With the Big Dick Kohuna, as long as they're dirty, they're possible to use. We had a couple of days ago in the Gemara had asked if the floor of the Azara is covered with blood.
I'm sure they used to wash Big Dick Kohuna all the time, but not in the Azara. This one has to be
washed. This one has to be washed in the Azara. And actually, it depends, really. I mean, there are certain things, as far as the Big Dick Kohuna, where we don't. For example, I don't remember whether as far as washing. I know, for example, it says if they got ripped, for example, we don't sew them up, because ain't I need to smoke on my shoes.
Right.
Washing, I think maybe you're right. Isn't it? But in any case, here there's a Gzeris HaKosu, that's clothing.
Yes, because not washing the Azorah.
At any time, whether it's Big Dick Kohuna, whether it's Sam, the Godim of Azor, who's in the Azorah to bring his Korban or whatever.
Anyone.
To have a smoke on Kodesh, the Apostle says it has to be washed in the Azorah, yeah.
What does it mean? Azar that is in the Azara and he's gotten to become dirty,
then he has to take the. Again, he's not going to take them off right there in the Azara. But when that clothing is washed, it's going to have to be done in the Azara. Okay, so now again, so we're saying that only applies to blood that's going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, not where it can't be sprinkled and not where it was already sprinkled. So now we had asked then, in that case, we have the distinction, this is back to Lamed Chasam Abbeis, just reviewing what we had said over there because it's relevant to understanding our Gemara over here, is the Gemara had said on the face of it, the Mishnah is saying that if it was already on the Keren and now it jumps off from there onto somebody's clothing or whatever, somebody walks by over there and it accidentally gets on his clothing, then that doesn't require kibbutz in the Azara. The implication is if it's blood that's yet to be put on the Keren, then it does require kibbutz, which is what Rapapa is saying, that even if he did only one matana, at this point the korban is kosher, he's not absolutely required to do the other three, he should just do it la mitzvah. Nevertheless, that blood would be tohen kibbutz. It would require washing in the Azara. But the Gemara had said, what about, though, in that case, that you'd have the same inference about the Shirayim, it would mean the same thing, only if it comes from the Yisoid, do you not have to wash it, implying if it's yet to go on the Yisoid, then you do, and on the face of it, that wouldn't be, and that would brought us into the whole discussion about Reb Nechemia's opinion, where Reb Nechemia holds that the Shirayim are considered very much like the main blood of the Korban. So now, we had asked on Reb Papa from that, from Reb Nechemia's opinion, the Gemara had gone back and forth on that. Now, Ravina gives a different answer. Here's how we can understand the Mishnah. Mina Keren, when the Mishnah says See here, up until this point, the Gemara had assumed that the words min have to mean the same thing in both parts. If mina keren means only specifically where it was already on the keren, then mina yisoid has to be only where it was specifically already on the yisoid, as opposed to when it's going to be brought on the keren and going to be brought on the yisoid. And that had forced the Gemara to say that maybe we're talking specifically according to Rav Nechemiah. Now Ravina gives a different answer. You don't have to say that. The two mins can mean different things. Mina keren mamish. When it says mina keren, means exactly from the keren. The blood was already applied to the keren of the mizbeach, and now somebody brushed by there and it got on his clothing. We're saying that doesn't require kibbutz because it was already applied to the mizbeach. But when we say mina yisoid, it doesn't mean that it was already actually on the yisoid. It can mean haroi the yisoid. It can mean that it's yet going to be placed on the yisoid, that the matonis have been done, and now all that's left is to pour the shirayim. So therefore, so yes, the Mishnah can well be saying that and it can follow the Chachamim, that the shirayim, if it gets on the clothing, do not require kibbutz, even though it was before they were placed on the yisoid, because the shirayim are not ma'akev at all, whereas the three matonis, to that extent, we treat the three matonis like the original one, and we say the blood that's yet to be done for those three matonis requires kibbutz in the azara. Okay, so you could learn it that way. But Rav Tachlifa bar Gaza asked Ravina, why? Aim of Aidi v'Aidi Roihu. Why? In that case, you don't want to say that it means both of them, that it means that it actually goes on the Keren or the Yisoid, because then you have the problem with the Shirayim, fine. But why don't you say that it means by both of them, where it's Roi to go, it means blood that's yet going to be put, and that would be not like a papa, that the three Matonis do not require kibbutz. And the Gemara answers that. Or Ravina answers that. Hi, Mai, what kind of a question is that? Hashta roi lekeren amrit loy. You're telling me that even blood that's roi lekeren, that's going to be placed on the keren, but has not yet, but usually it would be, you know, the three matonis are supposed to be placed there, they just haven't been done, and you're saying loy, that it wouldn't require kibbutz. Roi leyisoid mi boya, would it need to be said by the shirayim, which are even less ma'akev than the three matonis? So why would the Mishnah even have to mention then mina yisoid? Ella, that forces us to say mina keren means mina keren mamish, that mina keren means specifically from the keren. As opposed to, as long as it's roi la keren, as long as it's yet going to go to the keren, then it requires kibbutz. Even though now it's true those three matonis are not ma'akib, but nevertheless, they still have enough of a connection to the original korban. They are, after all, asher yizeh, they are yet to be sprinkled, because you are supposed to do those remaining three sprinklings, those remaining three applications, and therefore that the din of kibbutz would apply. But mina yisoid would mean mina roi yisoid would mean only from what's going to go from the yisoid, because again, if it was already on the yisoid, there'd be no chiddush in it. So therefore it is logical to understand the Mishnah that way, and therefore it still bears out Rav Papa's point that the three matonis do require kibbutz, whereas the blood that's going to go to the yisoid, or that's already on the yisoid, does not. Now going on to the next thing, we said in the Mishnah, we said on the other hand, so here we were talking so far about the blood that goes on the mizbeach hachitz. So what we said is, when it comes to most korbanos, both the shama and the sfilul agree that the dievid one matana is enough. Even though most korbanos, you do shtei matana shein arba, but here you can do one matana and you can be your dievid by a chatas where machlokes the shama the sfilul, whether it requires one or two. According to the shama, you need a minimum of two. According to the sfilul, it's good enough even one. Okay. Now, on the other hand, the braisa, the Mishnah had continued and said, calling the tonanam is there hapnimi solah, that when it comes to the mizbeach hapnimi, then every single matana is ma'akad, matana achas, man me'akavas, and the Mishnah had also mentioned that there's a nakamina as far as the dinim of pigul, because as we said, when it comes to a chatas, Beis Shammai would hold that in order for the korban, when it comes to a chatas, because they hold, you need minimum two applications of blood, therefore, according to the same Beis Shammai, you need those two to be with a thought of pigul for a cat, for a thought of chutz l'zmano, for the korban to become pigul, whereas according to the sillel, it's enough that he had it by one. On the other hand, by the Chatoris HaPnimius, the Mishnah had said, because Matana Achas Memeach Kavas, therefore every single Matana is a time when it could conceivably be made pigle, as long as, again, there's no other Machshava.
The Kula is Hillel.
We discussed that yesterday, that on the face, from the Shamas Chumra comes out a Kula.
Right.
We discussed that in the Gemara, right. And the answer was when the question was originally brought up in the Beis Medrash, it was brought up in terms of how much is needed for the Korban to be kosher. So yes, there emerges from that in the end of Kula, but that wasn't the focus of the question, really. But he was, now, on the other hand, again, he was saying, when it comes to the Hatoris HaPnimius, because every one of their matonis is not active, therefore, every one of them, first of all, if even one of them is missing, the Kodim is possible, but second of all, if he has a thought of chutz l'zmanei by any one of them, then that's enough for the korban to be people. As long as there was no other machshav, machshavas makom, or whatever that would otherwise make it possible that overrides machshavas pigol, as we might have discussed earlier in the Masechta. Okay, so let's talk about that. How do we know that, in fact, how do we know this concept of matana achas men me'akavas? So Tana Rabban, we learn in a brisa, the pasuk says, by the par helam davashot sibur, va'osa kasher osa. The pasuk goes, va'osa lapur kasher osa l'farachatas. You should do to this par like he had done to the par of the chatas. So here, the Torah list, the Torah tells us about the par helam davashot sibur. It goes through what you need to do with it, including so it says that as far as the imurim, you do exactly the same as by the chatas mentioned previously, the par praying Mashiach. And then the pasuk says, va'osa lapur, you should do with this par kasher. Also the far chatas, like he had done to the power of the chatas, meaning the power of Kohen Mashiach. Now, Rashi explains that pasuk is completely unnecessary. The only thing that has not been re-specified, that has not been re-listed by the Par Helam Davashot Sibur, it mentions everything else. It mentions the smicha, it mentions the shechting, the sprinkling of the blood, etc., etc. So the only thing it doesn't mention is the details of the emurim that have to be brought. But fine. But nevertheless, Rashi explains that you have by the power of Kohen Mashiach, it mentions the specific emurim. Here it just says that you should take all the chelav out of it and offer it on the mizbeach, and it doesn't go into the details. Nevertheless, Rashi says that since we're not saying though that when it says it can't be that it's to learn the details of the emurim, because that wouldn't be necessary. Rashi says, since the pasuk continues the chiper, that the Kohen with this will atone for the Jewish people for the avera that they did by the mistake of the Sanhedrin, the emurim while not part of the kapara. So therefore, it has to be that this pasuk, the also lapur, kasher also laparachatas, chiper alayim akoyin, must refer to something involving the blood of the korban, which is the kapara. So therefore, what it means is, therefore, we're going to darshan from it about the matonis of blood. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos discusses and gives a different explanation that it does in fact mean to, it's not just the matonis, it does mean everything else that it said by the power of Kohen Gadol, and we do, and there's a reason why we do need to explain it again, that all of those things apply to the power Helam Davashot Sibur. Anyway, so we learn like this. Ma Balu, what are we learning from those words in the pasuk? So it means lichbo b'haza osay. It comes to repeat the point that the sprinklings of the blood of the korban have to be done. The limud shem chisra achas mekol matonis le'osav v'leklum. So with that, it's teaching us that if you left out any of the matonis, then it doesn't count for anything, because you have the usual rule shana olav akosav v'akiv, that when it comes to korbanos, if the Torah repeats something again, then it means that it's not active. So in effect, Rashi says we have to change around the words of the pasuk. But also kasher also would mean he has to do like he had done with the power Kohen Gadol. Instead, we're doing the also kasher also. Instead, what we're doing is that you're doing va'asei kasher also. Do for it like I already told you what needs to be done, and that's shana olav akos lakin. So you do that. Now, Emi Alamatan Sheva Shema Akvas Mohamakam. Now, if you only had that pasuk, you would think that only applies to the seven sprinklings of blood that are done on the Poreichnes. When it comes to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, you have eight Achas Maila, the Sheva Maila in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and again on the Poreichnes. When it comes to the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Helam Davashot Sibur, you have only seven on the Poreichnes. You don't bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, you would think that pasuk is telling us only about the seven of Shema Akvas v'chomokim, because we find in other contexts that not having seven sprinklings passes a korban. The Gemara is going to explain later on Daf Mem, we're going to have examples like that. We're going to have by the Parah Aduma, we're going to have by Mitzoyra's korban, where you have to have seven sprinklings, and if you have any less, then it's possible. So therefore, fine, we can say the same thing over here. You do less than seven sprinklings with a Parah Helam Davashot Sibur, then it's going to be possible. What about by the Parah Korban Mashiach, you have something else, Matan Arba, you also have four applications of blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav. Minayin. How do we know those are Ma'akim as well, if he left out any one of them? Now, the Gemara is going to later ask, what do you need? The Va'asa Kasha also is referring to all of it. Why would we think it applies only to the seven and not four? The Gemara will take up that point later on, Daf Mem. But first, Talmud Lema, Kain Yasa, that is why the Pasuk says, thus he shall do. So it means both the seven and the four have to be done, and if even any one of those 11 was left out, then the korban is possible. Okay, let's continue darshaning the pasuk. Lapur zepar yemek kapurim. When the pasuk says va'osa lapur, so far we darshan the words va'osa kasha osa. We're saying it means that the va'osa kasha osa, we're darshaning as if it said va'asei kasha osa, do with this korban as I told you by the previous korban. Then, when the pasuk continues, ein yaster, we said means not just the seven, but also the four. And now, when it says lapur, when it says also lapur, that means that pariyam kapurim, that teaches us a din about the pariyam kapurim. Where again, the Gemara on Daf Mem is going to start discussing what we mean, what do we need to learn by the pariyam kippur that we didn't already know. And when it says kasha also lapur, when it says as he did to the pur, that means the pariyam mashiach, that refers to the parakoyim mashiach, that it also has these same dinim, because again, you have so far, we're saying by the parahelam davashal tzibur, it's repeated, because you're saying it says by the parahelam davashal tzibur, all the details, the matonis, and then it says va'osa kasha osa, so there's your repetition, but by the parahelam, by the parakoyim gadol, by the parakoyim mashiach, you don't have that. So therefore you need the words kasha osa lapur to teach us that's ma'akiv by them as well. And when the pasuk finishes off, ha'chatas, elos se'ir avodas b'chavim. When it says lapar ha'chatas, that comes to include also the special chatas of the tzibur, which is the goats that they bring if Beis Din had made a mistake in paskin for them that a type of avodah zarah is mutter. Anything else, that's chayav kares, as we learned in Horius, they bring a par helam davashal tzibur, but if the mistake involved avodah zarah, then they bring a par, but also a sur. The par is a chatas, and the sur, and the par and a sur for a chatas and an oila respect. The par then is an oila. In the normal case, the par helam davashal tzibur, the par is a chatas. Here instead, where it's avodah zarah involved, the par is an oila and the sur is a chatas. Okay, continues the Braisa. So all of those, the same didn't apply that Matona Achas Me'an Me'akavis. Yochol Shani Marbach Si'ira Regolim Si'ira Rosh Chodashim. So now you would think maybe also then include under the word Chachatos, maybe also include the goats that are brought as Chatois for the Tzibur on Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodesh, where we always say in Davening, Viskur L'chaper, or Shnei Sirim L'chaper. Maybe the same din should apply to those that Matona Achas Me'an Me'akavis, or that actually we should have to take the blood inside the Heichol and sprinkle it over there, and then burn the korban afterwards. No, Talmud Lema Loi, therefore the pasuk says Ken Yasa Loi, and the word Loi is a miut, meaning it applies only to the korbanos that we've said so far. Thomas Fitz brings up an interesting point. We know in the story with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and the chatas that they burnt, they sira chatas dorash Moshe v'ini sodach, that Moshe was angry why they burnt the chatas of the chodesh and why'd you do it? And then they have the whole explanation which the Gemara had touched on earlier in the Masechta, and which we're going to have in great detail a sugya about it later on. The file of Kofes, was it because they became tomei and therefore they couldn't eat the meat, so therefore there's no choice but to burn it? Is it because even though Aaron is allowed to bring the korban as an oinin, even though Nadav and Abihu just passed away, but he's not allowed to eat it, etc. The Gemara has a whole sugya about it later in the Masechta, explaining the details of the story. Anyway, that was the sort of Rosh Chodesh. If you're telling me now in the Gemara that we would, in the Braisa, that we would think that the sur of Rosh Chodesh is meant to be, the blood is meant to be brought inside the Heichel and burnt, then what's Moshe upset about? That would be exactly it. So what's the haba? The very fact that Moshe is upset about it should show that that's impossible to say. Why do we need a limud from the pasuk to tell us otherwise? So Tosfos says maybe that's just it. That was exactly it. Why taka does Moshe not darshan from this very pasuk that we're saying over here that in fact they did the right thing, that they do should taka bring the blood into the heichel and then burn the furnace? Chicken Mechubetzis discusses that point at some length and says that it's a bit of a doichik to say that. So first, Chicken Mechubetzis says, fine, maybe we're not talking. maybe we're not really talking about the Seerim of Rosh Chodesh. Whenever we talk about the Seerim of Rosh Chodesh, then usually Rosh Chodesh comes along with it as well. They accomplish much the same thing as the Gemara, as the Mishnah and Gemara discuss in Shavuos. But really, we're focusing on the, really, we want to focus on the ones of the Regalim, which was not the one that, that we're dealing with over there, but on Vayhi Bayom HaShemini. And therefore, so that's the question. Maybe those, the blood should be brought into the Heichel. You're right, says Shitvok Kabessas, maybe the Gemara never had a Havam, you know, that we should do that with the Korban of Rosh Chodesh. We're just mentioning Rosh Chodesh unnecessarily because it goes along with the other one. And then he goes on in great detail. That with more questions on that, it seems clear from the pasuk that the scheduled korbanos there's only once a year achas bashana that you do, which is Yom Kippur. How could we think that there are other scheduled korbanos that are brought inside? And he goes and discusses discusses. Fine, maybe we should learn not that you bring the blood inside, but at least you should learn matana achas men me'akolus. Fine, you don't bring the blood inside the heifel. That would be achas bashana. But how do we know that this concept matana achas men me'akolus does not apply to the seirim of Yom Tovim or Rosh Chodesh? So the answer is because of this miut loy. Okay, the Braisa says, Amara Isilu Rabbis es Elu Lahotzi es Elu. So what's the logic? Once you're saying you have a ribui from the word hachatas and you have a miut from the word loy, why should we include the Seiri Avodis Kechavim and exclude the ones of Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh? What's the logic? So the answer is, Achash Riba Akotsu Vamiut, given that we have a ribui in the Pasik, but we also have a miut, then we have to apply logic. Marbani es Elu, it's more logical to apply this din to the Seirim of Rosh Chodesh and to the Seirim of Avodah Zarah. Mitzvah Yidua, which those are machaper for violating a specific known mitzvah. So the parahel of Davashal Tzibur is we're based in Paskin on a certain thing, chelav that's mutter, a certain kind of chelav that's mutter, a certain kind of malacha on Shabbos that's mutter, etc., as discussed extensively in Masechta Horias. And here, Avodah Zarah is also a known thing. They Paskin wrongly that a certain type of Avodah Zarah is mutter, and people follow it. So therefore, so it's more logical to include that all of those are in the same category, umotzi ani elu, as opposed to, let's exclude the ones of Regalim and Rosh Chodesh, shein mechaper alveras mitzvah yidua, they're not coming to be mechaper for a specific known avera, because if they come for tumas mikdash for kodshim, as it discusses in Shavuos, if a person entered the mikdash or ate kodshim when he was tamei, then if he knows, now if he had, it talks about over there in Shavuos, if he had yediyah b'tchila, the yediyah b'sof, if he knew that he was tamei, or that this is the mikdash, and then he forgot and went in, and then later on he remembered, then he brings his own personal korban, his korban olah v'yored. If you have a case where he never knew at all, he never knew that he was tamei and he had done anything wrong, then that's where the seirim of Avodah, or the seirim of Rosh Chodesh and of the Yom Tov throughout the year are mechaper for that. So therefore, so it's not mitzvah yidua. It's not a specific known mitzvah avera, that is, where he knows that he did something wrong, unlike with the parahel of Davar Shatzibur and unlike with Seiri Avodah Kechavim. So therefore, it's much more logical to say that if we're going to be marba something, it's going to be the Seiri Avodah Kechavim, and say that it has the same rules as far as bringing the blood into the heichel and sprinkling it over there, and as far as the dinim atan achas men akavas, rather than include the Seiri Rosh Chodeshim and Yom Tovim, which are not in that category. Okay, then the Braisa continues. Now let's douse in the rest of the pasuk. It says v'chiter that he should atone. That means afal pi shalei sama, even if they didn't do smicha. Now the pasuk describes by the parahel davar shel tzibur that the kainim, that some of the members of the Sanhedrin are supposed to do smicha on the animal. Nevertheless, if they didn't do smicha, then nevertheless the kapara still works. It's not ma'akev. Now why do we need to say that smicha is never ma'akev by a korban, as the gemara had explained in the first parak? The point is, we would have thought, since the pasuk specifically says, but also fasha also, and we said before, shana alu akos of la'akid, maybe that applies to the smicha as well, therefore we need to be told that not the smicha is still not ma'akid. The nisrach, when it says they'll be forgiven, means apishla nosan shirayim, even if they didn't pour the shirayim on the mizbech, because shiradama yishreva imlo nosan ma'ikid. Again, Umara Isa Lifsal Bahazois, Lahaksha Bismicha Bashirayim. What's the logic that we should say that the Va'osa Kasha also means that if any Hazar was missing, then the Korban is possible, but to then be Mamayat and say that if the Smicha or the Shirayim were not done, the Korban is kosher. What's the logic? And the answer is Amarta. You have to say, Posel Bahakot Hazor is more likely to say that the Psul would apply to the Hazor is from Ma'akvus B'chomokim, because in general, Hazor is Ma'akvus, a Korban. If you don't do Hazor at all, then the Korban is Posel. You have to do some Hazoris at least, but so fine. How do we learn from that? Every Hazor over here, that the Gemara is going to take up on that man. But anyway, at least we find that Hazor is Ma'akvus sometimes. Umakshra, and he was Smicha B'shirayim, Shein Ma'akvus B'chomokim, as opposed to Smicha and Shirayim, which are never Ma'akvus by a Smicha is never ma'akim. Shirayim, Rashi says, by Chafas Chutzoyna is not ma'akim. The Divrei Hakel, and again, Tosfos had discussed on Omar Aleph that maybe Reb Nechemya would say that it is possible, but at least the Chachamim hold that it is not. So therefore, it's more logical to exclude those and say that if they weren't done, the Korban is nevertheless still kosher. This Fasemis brings up a point over here. We had learned previously, a couple of days ago, that when the Pasuk is the Chipre of a Nislach, one of them is extra, because they basically mean broadly the same thing, and therefore we can use the Chipre to darshan about if you left out some of the Matanis. But here the Gemara seems to be darshaning both the Chipre and the Nislach. How can you do that? So he explains basically because the Gemara is going to end up further on in the Suvya, the Gemara is going to end up darshaning that when it says by the Korbanos Vavod Azara that you have a different pasuk Chatosim and Shigigosim, that, and it says over there V'nislach Lahem, so you already have a V'nislach there, and therefore the Gemara can well use both of the Chippur and the V'nislach over here to darshan and to say that means that even though the Smicha was not done, or even though the Shirayim was not done, the Korban is still kosher. Okay, so thus far the Braisa. So we see from that Braisa, Matanachas, and then Pobas by these Probonus, and then we'll continue tomorrow on Daf Mem, Bes, the Shem, and the Gemara will analyze this Braisa and explain everything that it said, why we learn the way we do, and how exactly we learn all these things. Okay.